I guess I'd like to call this the Nebuchadnezzar Inquisition. I want to talk to you a little bit about that, this Nebuchadnezzar syndrome here. I'm going to start in verse 28 of chapter 4 of Daniel. And all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking in the royal palace of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon which I have built for the royal dwelling place, by the might of my power, and for the glory of my majesty? Boy, I tell you, people who walk in pride, he is able to abase, right? And pride cometh before the fall, does it not? And verse 31 says, While the word was in the king's mouth, I tell you, God looks harshly on pride. He hates pride. There fell a voice from heaven, saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Well, I got to tell you something, friends. There is a Nebuchadnezzar syndrome out there, and where people are, they lose their mind, spiritually speaking and Christian speaking, they just lose their mind. And they don't realize that the kingdom is departed from them. You know, the Word says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, it says, We know that we have passed out of death and into life because we love the brethren. Now, this madness that comes over people, God is using, of course, to separate people from his body, to sanctify his body, to get the leaven out of his body. And he's doing a quick work. It's an amazing and astounding thing. I always hate to see it, but I understand that the end result is going to be fantastic. But you're not in life unless you love the brethren. And there's massive hatred in the faction movement. And they're attempting, as we'll see, to, like Herod and his soldiers, to assassinate the man-child, most of all. That's their number one target. But also take out as many of the bride as they can. These are their favorite targets. And the Bible says, He that loveth not abideth in death. They are dead. We've had so many dreams about people who were taken into the faction, and the dream pointed out that they were dead. Not physically dead, spiritually dead, lost. You know, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. If you're not forgiven, you are not saved. It's just so simple. It says, Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So once again, you see, the kingdom is departed. And you're not in the kingdom if you're in the faction. You have been ripped out of the body. And we've had a lot of, let no man take thy crown. We've had a lot of revelations about that recently to let people know that, you know, if you're captured by that thing because of sin, because God is taking sin out of the body. And when a person holds on to their sins and they don't listen to reason and they don't listen to correction and on and on and on, the Lord just brings someone along sometimes, or sometimes just spoken by a spirit, and they get critical and angry, and the faction takes them out, and they're just like Nebuchadnezzar, totally brain dead to anything that is righteous and Christian. It's an anti-Christian spirit. So he said, The kingdom is departed from thee, and thou shalt be driven from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and thou shalt be made to eat grass as an oxen. Now we know that grass Peter said, all flesh is as grass. These spirits are for the purpose of devouring flesh. And these people are taken over for the purpose of devouring their flesh. But also, they devour flesh. They devour the flesh of the righteous. They persecute the righteous. They slander the righteous. They slaughter the righteous. Slaughter, yes. We'll look at that in a few minutes. But may eat grass as an oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou shalt know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. See, some people don't, they're selfish, they're ambitious, they don't like leadership, they compete for it. They don't understand. Only God gives good leaders. And the rest are not. It's just that simple, you know. And he giveth it to whomsoever he will. And the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men. Well, that's one thing that happens is when that spirit enters in, that person, you don't have to tell them to go because of their evil, which is a very scriptural thing to do, but you just don't ever have to do it. They fall out with you, they're angry, they hate you, and they leave. And they're driven from men. Driven is like demon spirits do it. Well, that's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar here. He was driven from men by the demon spirits. And did eat grass as an oxen. You know, their job is to crucify the body. They especially look for the man child. They especially look for the bride. They especially look for people that may be doing things to get the word out there. I've noticed they especially go after these people. And anybody that the devil hates and wants to stop from ruining his kingdom, well, he'll send them. And by the way, you can look all the way through the Bible and you will find these people. They are murderous. They hated the prophets. They hated the teachers. They hated the man-childs. They warred against them. They killed them with their mouth, you know. They assassinated their character all through the scriptures. So, and if you look at that parallel today, the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. A man's enemies will tell you what the man is like. He was driven from men and did eat grass as an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till the hair was grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. I knew a sister that had a dream about a factious leader, and he had his fingernails were, instead they were bird's claws. And of course, I might share a little more about that with you in just a minute. But at the end of the days, so there's a time when God humbles people for their sins, puts the fear of God in them, causes them to consider that they need to live righteously and holy before the Lord, take correction. Some people don't take correction. They may have rejection, or they may just be prideful, but they won't take correction. They'll actually explode sometimes when you try to share something ever so gracefully with them. I know a brother that was taken out recently, but with the faction, and he wouldn't take correction, wouldn't take correction, wouldn't take correction. I even warned him, you know, your unforgiveness is going to take you out. Well, it did. So at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes to heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. A different man, right? A different man coming out of this thing than going into it. Oh, glory to God. You know, have you seen a friend that was taken out by these spirits? Well, keep on believing. Keep on praying for them, because at the end of the days of their being put into prison, because if you don't forgive people and you're angry with people and you're unforgiving, you're put into prison. Jesus came to set the captives free and open the prison to them that are bound, but some people are unforgiving, so they go back into prison. And they're in bondage, and they have the mind of a beast. When I was very young in the Lord, I had some friends that the Lord told me that's what happened to them. When they fell away, went back into the world, back into drugs, back into everything they hated and turned away from. But you know what? They were proud and angry against me because I left their dead religion. And the Lord took them out. And it says here, for His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay His hand, nor say unto Him, what doest thou? At the same time, mine understanding returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and brightness returned unto me. Boy, I tell you, this is something. God can just flip the switch, can't He? And I know in the very near future, He's going to do that for a lot of these people. Their time will be up, the end of their days of serving their prison time. And He's going to flip the switch, and their brightness is going to return to them, because you actually get very, very stupid under these spirits. We call them the stupid spirits, not because they're stupid, but because they make people stupid. People are unreasonable. They could have watched all this happen to someone else right in front of them, and they'll still fall into it, because it's a God thing. God just turns them over to this to do several things: to sanctify the body, to get the leaven out of the body, because they hadn't dealt with their sins. They're too proud to deal with their sins. So He turns them over to this. And the brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. And excellent greatness was added unto me. Excellent greatness was added unto me. Praise God. Somebody can come out of this thing, at least the elect can come out of this thing and be blessed, humbled and blessed. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, for all His works are truth, and His ways justice, and those that walk in pride He is able to abase. Oh, yes, He can. And I want to tell you something about a friend of mine once upon a time. I remember one time we were in a prayer meeting and worship and praise, and a brother in that meeting. You know, in worship and praise, I don't know if you've ever seen this, I have many times, demons are forced to do things many times when you're praising and worshiping God. They can be forced out of people. They can be revealed in people. I've seen both of those happen. And there was a brother in that meeting that I'm thinking of, and everything, we were worshiping, we were praising, and I guess we were kind of slowing down, getting ready to go to another song. And suddenly there was a blood-curdling scream and very broken-up, unintelligible tongues, just broken up scream. The man's head hit his hands. It was obviously a very frightful thing that happened to him. It made him very fearful. And his head was just down in his hands. And when he was finally able to speak, he said something very, very close to this. He said, I was just falling into this deep, deep darkness, and I fell to a place where there was evil all around me. evil, just evil. And that was the experience. However, I want to tell you, and I do believe it was the manifestation of a demon possession. I want to tell you, this is a guy that I love, you know, but he was taken out. And immediately that demon started to pervert the meaning of that thing that happened in the midst of the assembly. Even later, he began to glorify it as a good thing, but it was the Spirit speaking. He began to glorify it as a wonderful thing, a wonderful experience, but everybody that was around him knew that that wasn't the truth. And when that happened and that scream went out, this is the thought in my mind. Sounded like somebody getting slaughtered. Slaughtered. The next day, as I was thinking about this, I opened my Bible up and I looked right down on Ezekiel 9. Let me read that to you. And he cried in my ears with a loud voice, saying, "Cause ye them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the upper gate, which lieth towards the north, every man with his slaughter weapon in his hand. And the man in the midst of them, clothed in linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar." It's an altar of sacrifice, right? "And the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon it was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed in linen who had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city." This is Jerusalem, right? This is a cleansing of Jerusalem, a sanctifying of Jerusalem, a sanctifying of the bride, getting the leaven out of the bride. And the Lord said unto him, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry over all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof." Now, this is a sure sign of somebody who loves God, loves righteousness, loves truth, hates iniquity. I mean, that's what this is a symbol of. And there are people like that, of course, in the bride. And there are people that are in the bride only temporary, as we've already shared with you a revelation. I may share a piece of it later. There are people being replaced. Their place in the bride is being taken away and given to other people. And so, like Vashti, you know, Vashti, she did not obey the King of Kings, and she was replaced by Esther. That is happening. We know that. We had a revelation of that. That's happening now. They sigh and cry over all the abominations thereof. They have the mark of God. "And to the others he said in my hearing, Go ye through the city after him and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have pity." Amen. Well, he is smiting people who don't have a conscience of righteousness, who will not give up their sins, who will not take correction. He is smiting them, and he's pitying not, because he has a purpose to sanctify the bride, Jerusalem. John said that, or John was told that the bride, Jerusalem, was the bride, right? And so, "Neither have ye pity, slay utterly." See, pity, when you're pitying something that's contrary to God, is evil in the sight of God. There are factious people that use pity to capture their prey. And as soon as a person opens their heart, you know, to pity them, that spirit enters into them. That's one of their favorite tricks. I've seen it take people out many times. Pity. Slay utterly the old man, the young man, and the virgin. Now, what would this mean in the spiritual realm? You know, what does getting slayed mean? It means you're dead. You're dead to righteousness. You're dead to God. You're dead. You've lost the kingdom. And little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Amen. Sanctuary, of course, represents the people that are closest to the presence of the Lord. Right? They are full of the presence of God. God starts at the very best, and He works out. Right? He wants His sanctuary clean and righteous and pure, and all those that have that position in God, and on out. Then they began all at the old men that were before the house. The most responsible people is the people that know the most. They've been around and seen the most. They're the most responsible. And so God takes them out first. If they don't have a conscience towards righteousness and purity, they are removed from the bride. They are dead to the bride. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and smote in the city. And it came to pass, while they were smiting, that I was left, and that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy wrath upon Jerusalem? Well, I know the feeling. I've seen many people slaughtered in this manner. And it was always because of sin. Always. Sometimes you didn't know the sin before, but you found out about it afterwards. Most often you already knew the sin of the person. And it was if the Lord was going to smite somebody, usually you know who that is, because they have continued on in their sins and justified themselves and had pride and on. You know who it is. Then he said unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of resting of judgment. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the land, and the Lord seeth not. You can always tell people that, even though they don't say this, they believe this, because they do evil. And you think, don't they know God is looking? And they do evil to their brother. They slander their own mother's son. And the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will bring their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed in linen, who had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Well, okay, it's a massive slaughter here of anybody that didn't have a conscience towards God and didn't humble themselves to the Lord God. And I'm going to share this too with you. This is an old dream we got in 2008 from a person who wanted to be anonymous. He said, shortly after lunch on April the 15th, 2008, heaviness came upon my spirit. I sought the Lord and did spiritual warfare for a day, but found no peace. I asked him for scripture, and the only scripture that kept coming in my head was Matthew 2:7-8, where Herod told the wise men to go and find the Messiah and come back and tell him where he was, so that he might go and worship him. This, of course, was a total lie, and his intent was to kill Jesus, to kill the man-child, right? And when the wise men did not return, he sent his soldiers to Bethlehem to slaughter all the male children 2 years and younger, to slaughter them. Well, we've looked at this before, and it's very similar to the dragging seeking to destroy the man-child and the woman in Revelation 12. And this dragon was after Jesus. For some reason, the devil could not associate which one was Jesus. And so he sent out the beasts to slaughter anybody that was within the age period. And, obviously the devil don't know everything, and some things God just blocks from him, so he doesn't understand them. But I got to tell you, history always repeats. And in these days, I've seen a lot of people who were in the running for the man-child slaughtered. The fact is, they never get the man-child. But they slaughter a lot of people. And how is this slaughter coming to pass? It comes to pass with slander, hatred, bitterness, criticism, railing. This is how they do it. And when a person, of course, listens to that illegally, according to the scriptures, that enters into them and it slays them. I mean, the spirit of faction takes them over. And it's not necessarily forever, because we're told in Isaiah, that Rachel's children will return. Now, that was interesting, since they were dead or killed here in Matthew. So the death here represents a spiritual death, and the return, a spiritual return. Very much like Nebuchadnezzar syndrome. He was dead, he lost the kingdom, and he came back by the grace of God, and came back a much wiser, more holy person. One who respected God, feared God, etc., etc. So this can be a good thing. But at any rate, the devil is out to get, in this text, the man-child, because he knows he's going to do him much harm and his kingdom much harm. He's out to get him, and he's out to get the bride too, because they too will do him much harm, and they're a much bigger group of people, so that they can actually reach a lot of more people in the world. Okay, I'm going to go on a little bit. When the Lord gave me this verse, I knew to watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing. There you go. Now these people claim to be Christians, but they're full of an anti-Christ spirit. They cannot submit to the leadership that God has created and ordained. They're very puffed up. Even their leadership is very ignorant, very childish. With the stupid spirits, literally, all of our dreams are like that, they can't discern what is God's will, because they believe that spirit in them is God. And so watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing. They're very easy to see. That's the thing about it. These guys can't sneak up on you. What you're going to eventually find coming out of their mouth is slander against somebody, and just know that that's them. And if you swallow that, you're going to hate that person because that's a spirit coming out of them, you see. And so their attempt is they want to take out the man-child. I started going through my list of acquaintances and still got no revelation. I prayed through the whole afternoon and went to bed exhausted around 11 o'clock p.m., but could not sleep. The heaviness became worse. About 5 o'clock a.m., I was so tired and still had no revelation, so I begged God once again to give me a dream or a vision according to Joel chapter 2, so that I would know how to pray. Of course, Joel 2 is about the northern army that's seeking to slay the bride. Yeah. But as you know, it turned out that they weren't able to slay the bride, but there was a great revival came from it. Right? Well, here we go now. So they're taking out people that are actually not in the bride, and the bride is coming and taking their place. Wow. Isn't that something? Yeah, we just had a dream like that the other day. I remember sharing it with you. So I'll just take a moment to share that. I'm going to share a piece of it, okay? David was this is a parable, and I'm being used as a certain thing in the parable, and Eve is used as the bride in the parable. I'm used as the man-child in the parable because of David and because of Eve, right? The names. David was dressed in very fine white linen, representing, this is Eve speaking here, representing our spiritual husband, Jesus, the son of David and the man-child. And he was standing next to his chair, facing a woman in the seat next to him. He very lovingly asked her to do something or was requiring something of her. She then folded her arms across her chest and raised her head and stuck out her chin and absolutely refused his request, just like Queen Vashti did. So my thoughts are that in type Vashti rejected the man-child Davids, who are God's messengers here, and so she was rejecting Jesus and the Father who live in the man-child Davids, who then rejected her. John 13 and 20 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." So when you don't receive those whom God sends, you don't receive him. It's one and the same thing. Vashti had no love for her head or the people to whom she was such a bad witness to. And like Vashti, some are rejecting the call to go before the king because they have idols, which are things that they love more than being called to stand before the king, right? Luke 21:34 says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest haply your heart shall be overcharged with surfeiting, overindulging in the world," right? And drunkenness, not seeing things rightly, or changing things to suit you, right? And cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly as a snare. For so shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. But watch ye at every season, making supplication that ye may prevail to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man, who is the King. We're called to overcome and stand before the King. Glory be to God. And the devil wants to stop that. He then, Ahasuerus, the king, he then became angry with her. David, in this case, is the king, and it's also a parable of Vashti and Ahasuerus and Esther, right? He then became angry with her and cast her out of his house and told everyone there that this is what happens to the rebellious ones, cast out of the king's house. And just like King, Eve said, just like King Ahasuerus did, in Esther to his rebellious wife. And we were all very sad at what happened and hung our heads in despair. David then pointed to me, that is Eve, as a type of the new bride, and told me to come up and take the woman's place next to him. He then smiled at me and asked me to marry him, just like it was with Esther. And she said, I feel the Father's warning that some are in danger of losing their position in the bride if they continue to ignore the dreams and admonitions and words Brother David has been given from God. Please make sure that you don't have idols in your heart, or Father will allow you to be deceived and to go your own way. Yes, this is so true, and we've actually seen this fulfilled. So, watch out for the wolves in sheep's clothing. They seek to devour you. They don't seek to serve you. They seek to devour you with their mouth. That's what wolves do, right? In half sleep, I was immediately on the street at a busy intersection. I did not know exactly where, except that I knew it was in America. A police officer was in the intersection, holding on to a young man with a vice grip on his elbow. The police officer was interrogating the young man, but I could not see what was being said. And in the vision, my view changed to surveying the street, but always came back to focus on this police officer holding the young man's elbow in such a way that I could see that it hurt the young man. Well, this police officer is an enforcer. Law. I got to tell you, the faction is very legalistic. There is no grace there whatsoever. And except for themselves. Okay. But when they want to talk about other people that are not of their group, you know, it's like the Borg, if you remember that. You have to assimilate or else you die, right? So but the police officer represents the law. We recently had a dream. Michael Hare had a dream about men standing in the door because they didn't want to come in. They didn't feel comfortable coming in. They were on their way out, which is a thing that we see with the factious. They are always leaving from among you, you know. But they said, there's a bad spirit of grace in this place, and we need to cast it out. What's the opposite of grace? It's the law. The law. Meaning, I'm going to judge you according to my own ideas. I'm not going to give you any grace. I'm not going to forgive you. I'm not going to give you grace. And, of course, if you don't do that, you won't get grace. And that's why you get brain dead when you do that. Okay? You know, if you don't forgive, you are not forgiven. What is not forgiven? You're dead. You're lost. You can't be saved without forgiveness. Okay? So once again, we see that there's a spiritual death that is involved in this Nebuchadnezzar syndrome, right? But he was holding on to this young man. The young man was not Caucasian, black, Hispanic, Middle Eastern, or from the Far East, but his face looked like a mixture of all of these ethnicities. Well, that's interesting. So we're talking about a worldwide happening here. There is an attempt to destroy worldwide the man-child. There is a hatred from the beast that wants to do these people in. Of course, they're going to miss. They're going to kill a lot of people around the man-child, but they're not going to get the man-child because the things that have been are the things that shall be. Okay? But the man-child is constantly learning from this and constantly being crucified by this and constantly being slandered by this and et cetera, like wolves do. They devour with their teeth, you know. So this was a person that is a representative of a a composite human, okay? His skin was somewhat darker, and he had curly, short, dark brown hair. And every time I saw him, his face radiated light, joy, and love in spite of the bad treatment he was being put through. Okay? So, then I saw the police officer roughly lead the young man into a large American-style church. Oh my goodness, that's a dangerous place. especially when you're talking about legalism, right? He did not take him into the main sanctuary, but into a large room that was next to the sanctuary. Uh-huh. And my thought was that this, the beast system, in this case in America, but it's worldwide, right, will demand that the true Christians submit to the harlot corporate religious system, just as it was in Jesus' day. The false prophets demand the death of those who don't submit to them. The faction demands the death. It crucifies, it slanders, it kills with the tongue the people who don't submit to that beast system, that harlot system. And it is like, well, I'll get to that in a minute. I was aware that there were others in the room at this time, but I did not see them. Then the police officer pulled a faux fur that was like an animal costume, curly reddish brown up over the man's shoulders. Curly reddish brown. I wonder if this could have anything to do with Esau, who always tried to kill his brother. You know, red, right? And then over his head, so he, this animal, beast, this beast costume, they were bringing this person into the Nebuchadnezzar syndrome, which is what they do. With slander, they trick people into accepting this into their heart, and it's really an evil spirit, an anti-Christian spirit. So, bringing the Christians under the covering of the beast, in other words, they're putting it in a beast suit, in the house of the harlot. Because everything is the harlot that loves the world and is anti to Jesus Christ and receives the seed of the beast rather than the seed of the husband, which is the Word of God. That's the harlot. All of the factious movement is in the harlot, all of it. In the harlot. And as soon as the fake animal fur came up over the back of his head to the crown of his hair, I saw a vapor-like power come from the right and massacre the young man with his body parts flying everywhere. So, gosh, he's dismembered. Did you get a while ago when I was talking about the dismembering of somebody in the bride or in the running for the bride? They lost their position, and like Vashti, they were rebellious, and so God took them out. So this vapor, which is like a spirit, a demon spirit, right, came from the right and massacred the young man with his body parts flying everywhere. He was dismembered. He was slain. You know, if you're not in the body, you're slain. The only one that's going to heaven is the body of Christ, right? And there is no sin in him. A person can't walk in willful disobedience and abide in Christ. And we should understand that. So, this is also representative of an anti-Christian persecution against this composite Christian, right? Kind of like an anti-Semitic persecution. It's unreasonable. It's hatred. It's faction, you know. And you know, it went on under Caesar and Pilate and Hitler, and now it's going on too, right under our noses. It's taking people out. I then looked into the room and there were people being dismembered everywhere. Oh, in this harlot place, right? The room was dimly lit. At the far wall was a window about 4 feet by 4 feet with light coming into the room. And I saw body parts flying so that they were silhouetted against the light on the lower portion of the window. So it's a slaughtering of people, just like we read in Ezekiel chapter 9, a slaughtering. They're dead, not physically, spiritually dead by these assassins. They're out there looking for you now, folks. I just got to tell you, if they can put any unforgiveness and bitterness in you, you'll lose your position in the body because you're not forgiven. And from the heart, Jesus said, if you don't forgive everyone, your brother, from the heart, my Father will turn you over to the tormentors. In other words, back to jail, back into prison, right? And the last scene was surreal. Silhouetted in the center of the lighted window was a large, dismembered hand with the fingers spread apart. This picture was black and white and was emblazoned on my mind, similar to the pictures I saw at the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. Yeah, this is what we're talking about, a spiritual holocaust. Those babies that were in the running for the man-child but weren't elect, chosen, etc. See, if you can fall from your grace because someone poisons your heart, well, then you're slaughtered. You're not a part of the man-child. The man-child is an overcomer, right? And you can notice the emphasis over and over is of this composite man being dismembered. The members of the body of Christ must be crucified to sin to remain members of the new man, right? I mean, Colossians 3:5. On down, let's read that. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Now, I got to tell you, folks, the wrath of God is falling on those sons who are disobedient. It is happening now. There is a great falling away. And by the way, when these people get in that degenerate state, they're very easily used by Satan himself. Satan wanted to take out Jesus. He wanted to take out the man-child. Wherein ye also once walked when ye lived in these things. But now ye do also put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Wow. Notice what dismembers people. Lie not one to another. Another thing that dismembers people. They're liars. Seeing that you've put off the old man with his doings and have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Like the man-child is the first fruits of these people. Not because of their ability, but because of God's ability and because God put the faith in them. And he will put it in you. Where there cannot be a Greek, and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. There's your composite man, right? We can't enter the kingdom with sinful members. Matthew 5:29 says, "And if thy right eye cause thee to stumble, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body be cast into hell. Well, so it's not acceptable, you know, unless it's plucked out and cast from you. You'll go to hell if you've got this evil member, right? And what did he call them members? Anger and wrath and malice and railing and shameful speaking out of your mouth. You hear people that do such things and they talk against their brothers and they've got hidden hatred. They smile at you and they say, I love you, but they're liars. Because if you love God's people, you love God. And if you love God, you keep His commandments. And that's forbidden. And if thy right hand caused thee to stumble, cut it off and cast it from thee. Notice there was a hand there, right? A hand. It was cut off. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not thy whole body go into hell. See, here's another thing. A lot of the factious people are thieves. When they get an opportunity to do that, they will steal from you. This brother that I was telling you about, he basically was dismembered by one of these people. And that demon just took him out of the body, very simply. I mean, you can't deny it. It just happened. And that person was a factious leader with the claws, you know, that came and took him out. So those members which are not crucified to sin will be dismembered to become members of the house of the harlot. 1 Corinthians 6 and 15 says, Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Happens all the time. They get dismembered. Vashti was dismembered for her stubborn rebellion and removed from the body. Well, he goes on to say, God forbid. Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. Know ye not that he that is joined to a harlot is one body? For the twain, saith he, shall become one flesh. That's right. People receive the seed of the beast rather than the seed of Christ, and it makes them a harlot. And they are one flesh with the harlot. They do not have eternal life in that state. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body. So notice that. The sin that a person does is outside the body. You walk in sin, you're not in the body. There is no sin in him. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. See, there are people that are in and out of Christ, in and out of Christ. They're in Christ, they do good, they do right, so on and so forth. Then they step outside and do their thing, you know. You don't spend enough time in the body, you're not going to grow up. You're not going to bear fruit. And the fruit is when you abide in Christ. We're talking about the body of Christ. You abide in Him. Notice, some people don't abide in Him. And he said they lose their fruit and they're cast forth and into the fire and burned. Where do you get once saved, always saved? Anywhere in the Bible, for goodness sake, you know? It's a lie. And I then heard a voice state, the Inquisition is coming to America. That was in 2008. And the vision was over. The heaviness lifted. So that's what the Lord wanted to show this person, right? The Inquisition is coming to America. What is an Inquisition? Pray tell, have you ever read about the Inquisition? It was a bunch of factious people who would kill you if you didn't believe what they believed. And they, what they believed in was Antichrist, because they're a murderer. And we know that no murderer has eternal life. They were murderers. The Inquisition was a bunch of factious people that demanded you submit to their God, and their God wasn't God. It was a demon. That's what the faction's all about. And we haven't seen the end of the faction. I mean, we may shortly see the end of the faction as far as the man, child, and bride, but the whole body is going to go through this thing. Now, there are butcherers out there. I mean, spiritual butcherers. They're full of hatred. They smile. They have false fruit, as we've seen in dreams. They have plastic grapes, and they try to fit in among the saints. We just had a dream like that, right? They try to fit in, and they know how to talk the talk. And sometimes they're really good at talking the talk, but because of the evil that's in them, they can't walk the walk. They will not walk the walk. They'll talk that they'll walk the walk, but they can't do it. So watch out for these wolves in sheep's clothing. They're not there to be a blessing to you. They're there to devour you. This man that took that man out, I'm talking about, you know, he was acting like a preacher, said a lot of good things, but his heart was totally evil. We found out that he was a registered violent sex offender. And he molested a little girl and was sentenced to 4 years for that. $50,000 fine. Of course, he lied about it. But the facts were there. The facts were the facts. And witnesses, of course, caught him in a church. And he was found to be a predator, a womanizer, seducing women, breaking up marriages, which happened just an attempt just recently from another witness we discovered. Anyway, he was found by that church to have lust and deception and so on and so forth. He had a spirit of seduction and faction. So these people like this are out there. I mean, they got a slick tongue, and they are putting on a show that's skin deep, but they're full of evil. And it took out this friend at that time. And so, let me share a little something else with you here. Back in 2014, I had a dream. After I had prayed for wisdom and direction during the night. In the dream, I saw my house, but it was not my physical house. It was my spiritual house of UBM. And people had come in to pollute us with leaven. They were clearly worldly. They were called Christian, but they weren't Christ-like. So we know that's not really Christian, right? But they were clearly of the world, worldly people, had interests in the world, not a conscience, as we saw in Ezekiel chapter 9, a conscience that would cause them to hate evil and love righteousness because they loved God, right? That wasn't there. But they were invading. They were infiltrating. They were putting on an air of being happy and smiling and chatty so as to appear acceptable to our flesh. And they were spread out throughout the house. I saw one man of a past faction, which is the Korah-Absalom rebellion. You know, it's people that take authority when they don't have it, when it isn't given by God, and of course they destroy themselves by doing that. So this man was of a past rebellion, whom I know to be conscienceless concerning the word. Now, anybody that receives that faction into him, they are conscienceless of the word. They just don't have a conscience. You can't convict them. You can't show them. It's all their reasoning. If you give verses, they just talk right over you. Totally ignore you. Totally ignore the word. Just go right over you. They have a different opinion, they'll tell you. A different opinion from the word? Yeah, well, that's what they do. He's very seductive and subtle to deceive the saints. Now, this came back in 2014, but it sounds very familiar. He had children in the house. I saw several even in my bed. I went out to the work shed behind the house and saw that they had fixed it up as living quarters, like servants' quarters, right? And I believe that this meant that they are servants, but not sons. You know, the Bible says, a servant abideth not in the house forever. The son abideth forever, Jesus said, right? What if you're not in the house, what are you? You're lost. You might be calling yourself a Christian, but you're lost. So they were servants. Mostly servants are servants of themselves in this kind of a case. I told them to leave, and they acted like they didn't know why I was saying this. Huh. Well, they didn't belong in that house. They were either deluded or deceptive or both. And I had the feeling that they were there by permission of my wife, although not my physical wife, but those who receive the seed of the word that I teach. Right? And from this, I believe that God is asking for more action from the brethren in getting the factious spirits out of the house. You know, through prayers and commands and through reporting of their actions, just as they were reported to the early apostles, they should be removed. Once they're recognized, they're very happy to go. It's not usually a big deal, not a big problem, because, like I said, once they're recognized, they'll flee. They don't like staying around. They want to be accepted, you see. Once they're recognized, they flee. They get mad and they flee. You know, they were reported in the early church, like 1 Corinthians 1:11 and 5:1, and 1 Corinthians 11, 18, and 19. And I'll read that one to you. It says, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that divisions exist among you. And I partly believe it." He heard it. He was hearing about these divisions. A division is separation. Division is faction, right? For there must be also factions among you, that they that are approved may be made manifest among you. Oh, glory to God. See, when factious people show up, they are to take out people that can give in to that kind of sin, because these people are polluting the body. They are leaven in the body. And so the people that are approved of God are made manifest by this. The factious people are proven to be who they are, pollution in the body. And human sentiment wouldn't have any influence in this. This dream made me feel led to share it, and just I received in 2014 Lakeisha Davis's dream, which I'd like to share too. And she said the dream started out with me in my current home, representing her spiritual house, right? It was dark outside. And the Lord's outside, there was ignorance of God and of His ways and of His righteousness and of His purity. It was wickedness. Dark outside. It's becoming very dark outside. Outside of what? Out of the home of the spiritual house of the righteous, right? My house was bigger on the inside than it is in real life. So it's a spiritual house, right? And I believe that this is representing the larger body of UBM. And there was a family there with me, Hispanic or Caucasian. In other words, it was another family in her spiritual house that does not belong to her spiritual family. And there was a tornado coming, and we became fearful and were wondering how we could protect ourselves because there was no good shelter available. And the Lord is coming with the destroyer to cleanse the house of enemy aliens and their ways and their gods. Because the people, of course, who escaped the destroyer had the blood over their doorposts, right? The others didn't, and they were destroyed. Well, there's a destroyer coming. And this verse, Isaiah 29:5, I received just a few days ago. It was an encouragement to me about what's coming. Isaiah 29:5 says, but the multitude of thy foes shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones, this is the ones that are slaughtering people, right, as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be in an instant, suddenly. She shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake. A couple of things that we're believing we're going to see here pretty soon. And great noise with whirlwind and tempest and the flame of a devouring fire. And verse 7 says, and the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, notice there's a corporate composite man here that's coming against the bride. That fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her stronghold, and that distress her, shall be as a dream, as a vision of the night. In other words, this at this particular time, when the Lord comes in a visitation, notice it said, she shall be visited of the Lord of hosts. This is the Lord coming in His man-child. We know how He's going to come on the morning of the third day, He said. Hosea chapter 6, right? Okay, so all these that distress her, which basically is the faction, the worldwide faction against that composite man, right, that wants to dismember that composite man, they're just going to be, it's going to be over. You know, our shelter is to be cleansed of the presence and the ways of the wicked. 1 Corinthians 5 and 5 says, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Delivered unto Satan. People are being delivered unto Satan. God does it all the time for the destruction of their flesh. I would say Nebuchadnezzar was a good symbol of that. People out there in the faction, they are a symbol of that. They obviously are delivered to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. And in that state, they can bring crucifixion to God's people too. so that the Spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? What is God going to do with leaven in the body? He's going to get rid of it. What's he doing now? He's getting rid of it. If you don't repent, he will remove you from the body. If you will be unleavened, then you can stay. But if you're going to bring leaven into the body, you can't stay. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For our Passover also has been sacrificed. Passover of what? The destroyer. People are being taken out by the destroyer because they're not walking under the blood. They're being taken out. Our Passover also has been sacrificed, even Christ. You want a Passover of this judgment, of the faction slaughter, of the Nebuchadnezzar syndrome? Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. Get rid of the leaven. He's talking about people here. And what is God doing? This is what he's doing. He's getting rid of the leaven. He is sanctifying the body. He uses faction to get rid of the leaven. Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. There you go. That's malice and wickedness. There's the leaven right there. He's getting rid of it. He don't want it in his body. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. There's no truth among the Nebuchadnezzar syndrome folks, the faction folks. There's no truth there. They can't tell the truth. And we have a Passover. And if we eat only the unleavened bread of Jesus' word, we can partake of this Passover. And then she said, we even thought of covering ourselves with certain pieces of furniture like a mattress. And my thought was that those under the rest of God through faith will be spared, covered like the Passover. Right? How do you enter into the rest? He that hath believed doth enter into the rest. The rest is that spiritual Sabbath, that everybody, the Sabbatismos. It's only used in one place, but it represents a ceasing from your works so that God can do his. Yeah. We could hear the tornado as it began to rip apart the house. I believe this is happening. I believe it's removing of things that can be shaken. Like Hebrews 12 and 25 says, it says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. And this is a problem when people, like Vashti in the revelation that I shared with you, she refused him that spake. And him that spake was the one who sent the David man-child. He was the one that was speaking. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. What happened when Vashti refused? She lost her position in the bride. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warned them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven. Well, you won't escape if you refuse those who warn on earth, because he who warns from heaven warns through these people. Much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, There's that earthquake, huh? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. Well, yet once more hasn't come to pass yet. We're coming to that point. It is coming. There's going to be a shaking, a mighty shaking of heaven and earth. Yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made. In other words, man-made, created, right? It could even be plastic, grapes, fruit that was in one dream trying to fit in, trying to look like everything around it, but trying to fit in. And that's the way these people are. They come in among you. They try to act and talk like a Christian, but they're not. They've been rejected from the body. That those things which are not shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace, whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God, with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. She said, we prayed and trusted in God to protect us and just waited. Some who are not of our house are trusting God to save them, but won't accept the necessary sanctification for a Passover. She said, I think at one point I became content with the fact that I might die. Well, we must lose our life to gain our life, as Jesus said, you know. And the next thing I know was that I was caught up in this huge tornado and being spun around, but wasn't ripped apart. In other words, she was not dismembered because she held fast to the head, Jesus, the Word, right? Colossians 2 and 19, not holding fast the head from whom all the body, being supplied and knit together through the joints and bands. Well, you could be dismembered, right? Notice, increasing with the increase of God. And then also Hebrews 4 and 12. So, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God can dismember you. Many people are dismembered from the church because of the Word of God, which they offend. They are leaven. They must be cast out. The thing about faction is it's very easy because you don't have to cast them out. All you got to do is recognize them and correct them and poof, they're gone. It's that quick. They get mad. The devil likes to hide. And once he's revealed and you point him out to people, he disappears. And she said, I kept praying to God. Well, praying without ceasing is awesome. Just keep it up. You know, prayer changes things. And, you know, pray with me for all of our brethren that we, of course, all pass the test of the waters of the Word, like Gideon's army, right? Who will conquer the flesh beast by the spoken words of their mouth. The test of love for one another, the test of forgiveness from the heart, the test of obedience in relationships, the test of faction, the test of the tornado in Lakeisha's dream. We're tested. We're being tested. Remember, we shared with you the revelation that we received recently of the inspectors coming. And they're coming to test to see what's ready. And guess what? They test. They find some that's not ready. They have to be thrown out. That's what faction does. They got to be thrown out. So that the bride will shine forth in the kingdom of the Father. Gather up them into bundles, those tares, you know, to burn them. But so gather out of his kingdom all them that do iniquity, cause stumbling. As Jesus said, that's what he's doing. He's gathering them out of his kingdom. They cause people to stumble. Be careful that you don't cause one of these little ones to stumble, the Lord says. If you do, he'll kick you out. That's what he said. Nahum 1 and 2 says, the Lord is a jealous God and avengeth. The Lord avengeth and is full of wrath. The Lord taketh vengeance on his adversaries. And he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Yeah, he's going to slaughter them. When you look at somebody who's factious, you're looking at somebody who's been slaughtered. Like the brother that screamed out in the church, and the word that came to me was a slaughter. And the verse I got the next day, when I'm thinking about that, Ezekiel chapter 9, the slaughter. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will by no means clear the guilty. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. The Lord uses everything. You know, the clouds are the dust of his feet. And I like Proverbs 10:25. It says, when the whirlwind passeth, the wicked is no more. So that's what the whirlwind's all about, right? Have you ever been through a whirlwind? I'm not talking physically, but spiritually. You know, the wicked is no more. Are taken out, taken away, swept out. God is sweeping his church. People think they can continue, since God didn't kill them, they think that they can continually get away with this stuff. But there comes a time when God just sweeps them out. The wicked is no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. The whirlwind don't take the righteous out, it takes the wicked out. Psalm 58:9 says, before your pots shall feel the thorns, he will take them away with a whirlwind. The green and the burning alike. And then back to that, Isaiah 29:5, it says, but the multitude of thy foes shall be like small dust. The multitude of the terrible ones as the chaff that passeth away. It shall be as a, in an instant, suddenly. God can flip that switch, can't he? She shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and with great noise and with whirlwind and tempest. What is that for? To get rid of the wicked. And the flame of a devouring fire. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, that is the Lion of God. As you read on down, you find out it's Jerusalem, right? The bride. Even all that fight against her and her stronghold and that distress her shall be as a dream, a vision of the night. You're just going to be gone. You know, you've been tormented by these people. Well, shortly, they're not going to be there. They'll either will have either repented and come out of it like Nebuchadnezzar did, or they'll be reprobated forever. One of the two. And Lachish said, then I caught hold of a thick branch of a tree. So when the Lord visits, notice that, she caught a hold of a thick branch of a tree, which is Jesus in the man-child ministry called the branch in the Bible, right? I was at an odd angle. Maybe I was upside down, but I was saved. Yeah, Isaiah 4 and 2 says, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. And the fruit of the land shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. In other words, escape the tornado of separation, right? Fruit of the land shall be excellent and comely. Well, because the old leaven has been purged out, right? Praise be to God. God's doing it. The faction is God's tool to cleanse the church. Anybody that can listen to that garbage has failed the test. When you listen to somebody slander somebody else, you failed the test. And guess what happens to you? You get slaughtered. I'm just telling you, that demon enters in and you are slaughtered, just like the guy I was talking about. I've seen this happen to so many people. It's just very, very grievous. But I know in every case, I mean, because they're all people I love, you know, but in every case it's somebody that, like Vashti, who didn't listen. They refused to listen. They got warnings over and over, and they refused to repent. They justified themselves. Jeremiah 23 and 5 says, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. This is a latter day David, a corporate body David, right? And everyone that doesn't hearken unto that prophet is going to be cut off from among the people. A righteous branch, he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Execute it. Which means he's going to have authority to take care of the transgressors that hurt our brethren. Judgment is going to come to the harlot and the beast through this branch. Zechariah 6 and 12 says, and speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall grow up out of his place, he shall build the temple of the Lord. Hallelujah. And she said, I got this verse in relationship to this dream, John 12, 20 through 36. And specifically verse 29. Well, you know, Jesus was glorified through death to self, and he said that we must also. This is our safety, as righteousness delivereth from death. So here it is, John 12 and 20 on down. It says, now there were certain Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. These therefore came to Philip, who was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. You know, how will the lost see Jesus, right? Well, Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. Andrew cometh and Philip, and they tell Jesus. And Jesus answereth them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And I believe we're coming to that point in the spirit realm of the corporate Jesus, the corporate man-child, those who are walking in the image of Jesus, right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Notice the people who sighed and cried over all the abominations who had the mark of God on them, right? They hated their life in this world. And they had eternal life. If a man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. But if any man serve me, him will the Father honor. Amen. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. There came therefore a voice out of heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the multitudes therefore that stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel hath spoken unto him. But Jesus answered and said, this voice hath not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Well, amen. And I got to tell you, the prince of this world is being cast out of the bride as we speak. People that won't repent, people that are factious, people that are unforgiving and critical and hate their brother, and love their life, they're being purged. Just like 1 Corinthians 5 says, cast out the old leaven. She said, I asked for a confirmation and got Matthew 12 and 28. Pretty close numbers, huh? Matthew 12 and 28. But if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come unto you. So, we need to cast these demons out of our body of Christ. If not, we will be cast out of the body of Christ. It's just that simple. God is going to cleanse his body. It's better to do it now than later. You may miss a deadline for certain high callings in God, like the man child and the bride, witnesses or whatever, you know. You may miss it if you think you're going to wait and hang around, and you'll miss some of these high callings, right? And she said, in the second part of the dream, people, including myself, were running into a corporate building. And we believe that this was the UBM body of Christ. That's our own individual building, right? To be protected from the storm. And when we entered the door, in the back, to the left, which represents those who lag behind spiritually, and the goats, the apostate Christians, so on and so forth, Matthew 22 and 14, was a big room. In the back, on the left, was a big room. It's the broad road of anything goes. Many are called, but few are chosen. Right? It was like a cafeteria. In other words, a place where spiritual food is served. And to the front right, in other words, the mature disciples, the sheep, are on the right, right? Were rooms ahead. And ahead was a descending stairwell. In other words, it going down. Beneath a progression of death to self and so to the resurrection life of Christ. In the left room, which is where the goats are, right, were people of many races. They were sitting down at a huge table, praying to God to save them from the tornado. I was praying too, but I didn't think that God was going to spare that room. Well, no, it was on the left and it represented the goats, right? He's not going to spare them. The goats are stubborn. They're like Vashti. And they're removed out of the presence of God's people, just like the tares were removed out from among the wheat. And these are the days when God said He was going to do this, and He certainly is doing it. God is not going to spare apostate Christianity, folks. He said He would not spare. So I began praying to God to save me, and I was led by the Spirit, along with a few other young people, Hispanic or Caucasian, to the metal stairwell that descended below ground. And there was a janitor's room that we passed on our way downstairs. And, of course, those ministers who keep the building clean, right? There are some that don't. There are some that just fill the place up with tares and get their ties and whatever, you know. But these represent those that keep the building clean. And there were many flights of stairs. And that could be a wordplay on flights or escape. Matthew 24 and 20 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you know. We were going below ground level. Well, beneath the ground represents death, burial, and it also, you know, is considered to be a place of safety from tornadoes and storms, which is where they were going, right? There's storms coming, folks. You got to get ready. I'm talking about spiritual storms. And when that whirlwind passeth, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. We just grow stronger in storms when we're devoted to God and His Word, but the wicked are swept away. At one point, we saw crude oil. Well, crude oil is another name for petroleum, and it's from the Greek word petra, which is rock, of course, who is Jesus. He said He's the rock, right? And Latin oleum, which means oil, rock oil. Could be the anointing of the Spirit, the rock who is the oil, right? And she said the oil was on a wall. And I believe the anointing to be sanctified is probably what that's talking about. And we decided against doing something because it was flammable. And, of course, that must have involved fire. And at that time, the word kindle came to my mind. And I think the first mention of that word is Exodus 35 and 3. It says, "You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day." And then the Sabbath is the rest, ceasing from our works, right? And no one who is dead to self will kindle the fire of the tongue. James 3 and 5 says, "So the tongue also is a little member, and boasteth of great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire." Oh, it's very destructive. The factious use it to destroy people, to slaughter people. Very destructive. You can't get away with that. Verse 6 says, "The tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defileth the whole body." Yes, people that with evil tongues come into the body to defile it. And they defile, of course, those people who are factioned or separated from the body in order to sanctify the body. Right? "And it sets on fire the wheel of nature, and is set on fire by hell." And shortly after that, we made it to the door, who is Jesus, right? That led into a bathroom or a restroom to get rid of waste, right? sanctification, right? This was a huge bathroom. It had many stalls and was very neat. It was kind of damp and gray. And it could be a place of getting rid of death or dead flesh or whatever, gray. Then we came into a large connected bathroom, which was orangish and more beautiful. And some young man said, "Cool, we could have our own bathroom." And of course we do. The Lord sanctified every one of us, right? Then in one of the stalls, we found a young man who was white with black hair. Black hair could represent here submitted to the mind of the flesh or submitted to darkness, right? He was wearing red clothes, representing works of sin, which is red, according to Isaiah 1 and 18, who couldn't find his way out. In other words, he was lost without sanctification. And I began to wonder if we would face some trial. Well, you know, Jesus spoke of those who began to build the house but couldn't finish. Amen. Then, in either another bathroom or room ahead of us was a young girl, a teenager with long, sandy, blonde hair. And I think it could represent, since hair represents submission, it could represent somewhat submissive to the mind of Christ, or, you know, and wearing glasses. In other words, blurred vision, I think, maybe. I believe, see, the bathrooms could represent different levels of sanctification, wood, hay, stubble, star, moon, sun, glory, you know. We all came together, she said, in a large room connected to the previous bathroom. And after death comes resurrection life and perfect unity in the body. As we have seen, moon glory comes before sun glory in our stages of Christian growth, and the moon is dead. Right? Death has to come for resurrection. It was an abandoned military lounge hideout. In other words, a place for the warriors to rest in the Lord, be refreshed, and be in safety, right? It was like a break room and had a TV with the news on it. I began to think we could live down there, for there was even food there. Well, to those who are dead to self, unbelief, doubt, etc., there is every provision for the days ahead. As the Lord said in Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." People are so worried about having their supplies, but the Lord is going to provide for those that are His. And the rest of them will probably lose it all because the beast is going to come collecting a lot of stuff. He'll collect food. He'll collect anything, you know. They've all got laws to take all that stuff. So in many cases, people aren't going to be able to hold on to it. But you know what? "My God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Won't that be wonderful? Nice, you don't have to pack it with you, right? In the last part, we went outside. We were now ground level again, somehow. We must have gone up some stairs, because when I said we had to go at the end, I knew that we had to go down some stairs. There was a large rooftop that we were on. Well, after death to self, it takes no works of our own to reach resurrection life. It's in this place we can go to the world with the gospel. Why is God raising up the bride? Well, to bring the gospel to the world and to raise up the church and to protect the church from the beast, right, as in Esther, right? Well, it was dark outside. I wonder if that means tribulation. Maybe so. The scene was a big city. Maybe that's World Babylon. There were people on the roof who seemed to be having a big party. People in idolatry, you know, whatever. Then out of the sky, from the left side, was descending orange fire in the shape of a pentagram. That's Satan. Over the people on the roof. People in Babylon are going to be judged. God uses Satan to do that. The beast of Satan, too, will have rule over those who refuse death to self in order to bring them to death. Our baptism represents death at the hands of obedience to the Word. And the pentagram was so huge, she said. It's a broad way, you know, of the whole world. 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in the evil one. They're all Satanists, folks. They all are Satanists. They all follow the flesh, and the flesh is in the image of Satan. They're all Satanists. That's why they'll all come together against the body of Christ in the end times. Ultimately, they're going to do it. The beast, there's only two men on the earth according to Jesus, and that's Christ and Antichrist. She said it could have been larger than a football field in circumference. I said something like, "We need to get out of here." Yeah, and we left. And, of course, by this time, many will know that they have made a mistake in neglecting their salvation. Right? Revelation 12:9 says, "And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death." It's going to be testing, saints, from here to the end, testing. The bride is being tested now. The Vashtis are being removed. The true bride is being enthroned. And the church later is also going to be tested. The man-child is the first to be tested, to come into that image, and on down the line, the Lord is planning on raising up a body in his image, right? From the head to the feet. And verse 12 says, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you shall dwell in, and ye that dwell in them. Woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil has gone down unto you, having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time." So those in heavenly places in Christ Jesus will not have to worry. We don't have to waste our time living in self-will. A great chastening is coming. Amen. Well, oh God, we just thank you for your awesomeness. We ask you, Lord, to help us to overcome the tests, Lord. We know the inspectors are here, and we know the test is upon us. Some are failing it and being put aside, and some are maintaining their place because of purity and righteousness in the body of the bride, or at least the body of Christ. Ain't God good? Give us so many blessings. Oh, Father, Lord, deliver us from evil, Father. Lord, deliver your people out of captivity, Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon your people that don't understand these things and they walk in self-will. They're not careful about their brother. They're not careful about being a stumbling block, which you said you were going to move out of your body. Lord, I do pray that your people will gather some wisdom in these days before the really dark days come. I do pray that your people will have an interest in serving you, that they will be willing, and that they will be grieved over the abominations and have the mark of God. Lord, we pray that your people will not be slaughtered because they don't have a conscience and they don't live according to their conscience. We pray, Lord, that you will preserve a righteous body, and that, and those slaughterers that are out there, Lord, that are used to kill your people, separate them, those people, Lord, we ask that you bring their terror to an end. Those Edomites who hate their brothers, those Ishmaelites who hate their brothers, fight against their brothers, do everything they can to be a stumbling block to their brothers. Lord, bring an end to their terror, Lord. Save your people from these wicked, Lord God. Lord, we hate to see people slaughtered, but we love to see your body come into maturity, and we love the results of what's coming after that, and that is the harvest. How exciting. The Lord is getting his bride ready. It's getting much closer. He's narrowing it down. It doesn't take as much now to get taken out as it used to be to get taken out, because he's sweeping the corners. He's getting everything that's left. He's got a beautiful bride ready for this harvest. And anybody that's not going to be beautiful, they're gone. They're just gone. And as I say, it's a sorrowful thing, but it's also a great thing, an awesome thing. You can't stop it. You can't pray it away. It's all necessary. Well, Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us and opening our eyes and helping us to understand these things, Lord. And we just praise you and we thank you. Sanctify your body, Lord. Help us all to be a part of it, too. Save your people, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.